Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, Alter Girl, Claudia Jordan. We're back with TGIF. We're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. So sit back, relax, get you something to drink, and get ready to sip on this hot tea we have for you this evening. Please welcome Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's going on, Claudia?
Just here on this hump day and ready to get through halfway through the week, right?
Hey, thank goodness.
All right. And please welcome Armand Wiggins. What's up, Armand? Hello.
What's going on? I'm chilling. I'm excited. Al, you look real peachy today. I like it.
All plum-like.
Yes.
Okay. So I hear one of y'all drinking and one is not. So which one is it?
Of course we know I'm the drinker here. After my day, I deserve to drink too. Mm. Definitely me drinking.
You had a rough day today.
Well, you know, this is my day where I work four jobs. So wow. I feel like, you know, to keep that energy up and give them what they want, I got to have a little sip a little every now and again.
When you say you work four jobs, take us through, like, what do you do?
Yeah, your day, because I need $100.
So I start in the morning. I teach at Bowie State University. So I have two sections that I teach. Then after that, I go into my consulting job that I work. I have clients that I work with daily. After that, I go into my YouTube show, which I've moved a different time on it. It comes on at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern, which is a 45 to an hour minute show. And then after that, I go straight into this show, which is my main bread and butter, which is TGIF. And I really enjoy doing this show a lot. Thanks, Claudia. Wow.
Of course. That's a long day, though. That's a long
day. That's a lot, right?
It's like it's wearing you out right now. I was like, what's wrong with Al?
Look, as long as dye still exists and I can dye these grays, we're going to be okay.
We have to get you some Adderall.
Yeah.
I heard it does wonders.
Does it really? Does it give you energy, too?
It does, and it makes you be able to focus. I definitely have attention deficit disorder. So when I really am like, it actually helps you. Let me not advertise here on TGIF. I'm not promoting it, but I'm just saying, if you needed it, talk to your doctor about not being able to focus and a lack of energy. Like, it gave me a lack of energy when I really was dragging, and I found it helped with the mood. So, you know, when you're exhausted, you know. All right, well, let's give the soulmates what they came for. Megan Thee Stallion's former cameraman is suing her after claiming Megan forced him to watch her have sex with another woman. He also claimed that she fat shamed him and berated him before he was fired in 2023. Now he's seeking unpaid wages, interest on unpaid wages, unpaid overtime, and more. What do you think of these charges? And do you feel that there's more to this story, Armand? Of course, I'm going to go to you first on this. What do you think?
I can't wait for your take on this. I am the resident why now, okay? And so it stands even with this situation. Why now? You know, because you got fired. He got fired. He wants these wages. So now all of a sudden she was forcing him to, you know, watch her have sex. And now she was mean and all of these things. And he's speaking out. And now he's suing her. Here's my opinion. I do believe that there is some truth to it. You know, we've heard that Megan Thee Stallion in the past has been mean to her employees. We know the story where she allegedly, you know, hit EJ. You know, she's fallen out with a lot of her hairstylists, makeup artists, friends, and lovers. So we know that, you know, in the past she has a bad attitude. You know what I mean? People say that she has a bad attitude. But at the end of the day, I don't feel like she forced that man to watch her have sex. I feel like personally, she was doing what she was doing. You know, she caught wind that he had saw her and mentioned and said, hey, you saw me? Well, don't say anything. He took that and ran with it and added to his lawsuit and tried to sensationalize this idea of her assaulting him in a way of forcing him to watch her have sex. So I'm not really here for it, but if we're keeping the same energy for this show, You, even Claudia, Al, you guys told me, hey, people speak out when they get fired. So she should be investigated just like everybody else.
And I don't have a problem with that because you can't really do it while you're there. But I do have a problem with one thing he said. First, he said she forced him to watch her have sex. Then he said she also said, were you there? So how can you do at the same time? Armand, we got a little soulmate in the chats and someone put this up. They said, Carmen said, your video was victim blaming Armand. So we have to get to your video. Did you do a video on this already?
I did because I said, why now? Okay. But why now?
All right. Al, I see you over there chomping at the bit. What do you think about this?
Oh, no, I'm not chomping at the bit. I'm over here jealous. That woman gets it more sex than anybody I know. That woman is living her best hot summer life, and she has not stopped. She's living it in the fall. She's living it in the spring, and she's living it in the winter. Beside that, I think people are really trying to take advantage of her celebrity. And if not take advantage, they are definitely trying to take her down. And let me just share what I mean. And I really do mean this from a sincere spot. Megan may have to really take some time and reevaluate the people that she's letting into her inner circle now that her stardom has reached this super mega status, okay? Because this is like the third or the fourth, and we can even say fifth or sixth person that she's allowed into her close workspace, and now they're speaking out against her or they're trying to take her down by embarrassing her. So let's go through it. Number one, Kelsey. Kelsey was her best friend. Now she's speaking against her and trying to take her down. Two, EJ King, the stylist. Similar story to this young man. Very close with her, worked with her a lot. Now trying to expose her, shame her, and take her down. Party, her ex, trying to take her down, expose her for, you know, being, you know, a little bit friendly to all the guys while dating him. The record label guy, the guy called Crawford. Once again, this photographer, number six. And then if we really want to be petty, she once was very friendly and nice with Nicki Minaj as well as Tory Lanez. And they now are beefing with her and trying to expose her and take her down. So my advice to Megan would be, baby, you're a star. You are not just a regular star. You are a super mega star now. Maybe you need to tighten that circle just a little bit more so that people aren't always trying to take you down or embarrass you or even take advantage of you.
Optimistic Lane, we have a lot of comments on this. Optimistic Lane said he got fired allegedly because Megan and her team found out he was feeding information to Nicki and other parties. Billy Little said Megan for the streets. Mario Miller said if a man did that, he would already be guilty. And Lauren M. said he had mad time to say something, but didn't. But now his hours got cut to the point of termination. Now he wants money. And Ramon Rosado said he's probably mad he just got fired because he got fired. I'm sure this won't be the last we'll hear about this. For some reason, Meg stay in the news. So we will definitely update you when we get some more information. All right. Let's get into Roseanne Barr. This woman right here shook up Twitter while making horrific allegations against President Joe Biden. Take a look.
No, I'm not okay because I just had a horrible flashback, a horrible memory. Right now, I realize that 26 years ago, Joe Biden raped me right here in that dressing room in the shoe department.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not. I need to sue.
He's just trolling. Dealing with mental illness, or could these allegations be true, Al? What do you think about Roseanne Barr saying that Biden attacked her?
Claudia, I'm actually extremely disgusted. I feel like this is extremely dangerous. We have been taught on this platform that we always should side with the victim when and where and how long it's been that they accuse someone of sexually violating them. She's saying that she was sexually raped in 1998 by our present president. I can't wait to see how Joe and Jill will respond to these accusations because Jill and Joe were married at that time. Now, I'm concerned because we do know that Roseanne Barr has been dealing with, you know, looking unhinged, becoming unhinged. She got thrown off of her own show, for heaven's sake. But for her to create a video and post it and it go viral, that to me is very alarming. And I want to know if it's something that Joe did not do is he allowed to sue her for defamation of character? Because this to me is just unacceptable. And I'm also concerned, Claudia, and I don't know about you, we're in a political cycle now. So the timing of this is also suspect. Why all of a sudden in the middle of this political run for presidency, she's all of a sudden remembering a rape that occurred 26 years ago during his political campaign for the White House?
I'm going to go ahead and jump in on this one, Armand, if you don't mind. Of course, you know, I've sided with victims many, many times on this show, but she's not a victim. And I feel very confident in saying this. Roseanne Barr is trolling the Donald Trump case with E. Jean Carroll because she said in a department store in Bergdorf Goodman that Trump did this to her. So now Roseanne is trying to be funny, which she hasn't been funny in decades, and try to make a joke and make light. As a former victim myself, I don't claim being a victimhood right now, but a lot of women and men that have actually been victimized sexually in a way, this is not cute nor funny, Roseanne, to use this to try to get a dig at this man. It's not a serious allegation. She's being silly and facetious here. She's trying to make light of Donald Trump's case because remember he was found guilty and he had that huge settlement he has to pay. Like, it's already been decided in court. Okay, the civil suit, he has to pay a whole bunch of money. Like, it's a closed case. So she's just trying to be funny. Now, it's not funny. It's not funny to the real victim. It's not funny to other victims. And it's not funny to try to like insert yourself into this for attention. Roseanne is unwell. And someone needs to check on this heifer. I'm sick of her. Since she got into this whole MAGA nonsense, she lost her mind. She lost everything. I don't get how he's got these people so hypnotized and mesmerized and so on his taint that they want to throw away everything with these inflammatory comments that they make. So Roseanne, have a damn seat with your nonsense because you're taking attention away from actual victims. Shut the hell up. I'm sorry, Armand. I'm not.
I'm glad you added that to it because I didn't know. I was going to say between the shockwaves in her head and in her mind, you know, it had to be, you know, dementia or something like that, because to just come up with that, you know, out of nowhere and then post it, it's clear you're clearly not mentally there, you know, because as people get older, they start just saying stuff, you know, like that. So it didn't seem too far off from it being a mental thing. But if you're saying that, hey, she's trolling something that has already happened, then that's probably honestly what it is.
Because the details are very similar to the E. Jean Carroll case, which Trump was found that he was found liable for that. The fact that she's saying, oh, it happened in a department store dressing room, all the details that she's saying, she's just switching it to Biden instead of Trump and that store instead of Bergdorf Goodman. And this is something I really stayed on top of because I've been following E. Jean Carroll since she used to write a column in Cosmopolitan. She's a very credible woman. So she... Roseanne, this is very reckless. And Biden, I know you probably think you have bigger fish to fry with all the other stuff you got going on. And you do. But I think people need to start setting examples for people like this that do this. Because all it takes is a few people. Everyone's all so jacked up on conspiracy theories right now, right? Okay, let's go to the comments. Mass Man said the political pandering is disgusting. And Billy Little said she's no victim. She deserves to catch a criminal case. Mm. Vernice Johnson said, no way. She's too big of a star not to report. I would definitely sue. You know, she's all about Trump. Just a note, in 1994, Roseanne announced she had a dissociative identity disorder. So, you know, she's going to go to that. Oh, when it gets hot, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's my mental illness that had me saying that. Shut up, Roseanne. Coming up next, Benzino sounds off on the gay community. And later we have a tea fact you don't want to miss. Keep it locked. We'll be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to TGIF. All right, Benzino has some interesting thoughts about the Meek Mill and Diddy gay rumors. Take a look.
It's none of our business if him and Meek are or not. The internet makes all our business everybody's business. At least the privacy of what we're doing in our bedroom should be private. Right. But what a man does in a man's bedroom, unless you
was
there.
I mean, Meek Mill is a real street. I don't know him, but I know from what I've seen.
Now, see, that's a different narrative, because real street can be gay. Like we got to, again, we got to be adults, and right. We got to look at this for what it is. But you can't have a personal opinion on who a unless you are in the room with him.
All right. What are your thoughts on Benzino's statement? Alice, go to you first.
I thought it was probably one of the smartest things I've heard come out of his mouth in the last couple of times that we've covered it. And I'm even going to take it a step further and say it's probably one of the most realistic things I've heard him say, because it's true. People are people regardless of their socioeconomic status. So you can be a hood dude, a gangbanger, you can be a street man. That does not make you 100% heterosexual. Period.
Oh, yeah, we know that for sure. Yes. Okay, Armand, what do you think about that?
I agree. Now, I agree with that. But, you know, the streets are saying he only saying this because, remember, he was allegedly sleeping with Shauna Brooks. Remember, a few years ago, Shauna Brooks came out and had these recordings, and she was saying that she was messing around with Benzino. But at the end of the day, it still doesn't change the fact that it really isn't our business. I just think we have a fascination of wanting to know if men are gay, and especially when it comes to street men. And to be honest with you, a lot of hood dudes are gay. It is what it is. Now, as far as Diddy and Meek Mill, it really is not our business. But we care because they're celebrities, and we just have an infatuation for to know, you know, if men are sleeping together.
I do not care anymore who is gay and who's not. It is so common. I think most men are gay nowadays, especially in the business. When I go to events, I think there's nothing here for me. I think all y'all are gay for the most part. I do. I think the majority of people that are in the arts are somehow, you know, I've seen so much that I don't see on this show. So I'm actually shocked when someone isn't gay. I'm like, oh, for real? They straight? Okay. I only care if someone is trying to holler at me and trying to date me. I feel like that's something we should have a conversation about. Just like if I was, you know, a fluid or bisexual or whatever, I feel like I would, you know, that's something we should talk about, because that's what I'm going to be laying down with. But other than that, I don't give a damn if Benzino, Meek Mill, Diddy have threesomes. I really don't care unless y'all trying to holler at me and I actually consider it. What are we going to say, Al?
So I know who I'm talking to, which is Armand and you, and I know y'all don't believe in this, but can we please on this show try to be, I'm just asking for me, be respectful of the labels. If we can be respectful of pronouns for trans, we can be respectful for the gays, we can be respectful for the lesbians. Can we please be respectful and open a space, a safe environment for bi men? These men, street men, may not be gay. They may be bi.
I agree with you.
In the industry may not be just gay. They may be bi. So all I'm saying is, can we just be a tad bit more respectful to people's identification? That's all I'm asking.
Let me just say this. I agree, because I was going to say that, but Claudia ended up saying, you know, I don't care if you're bi or whatever, because that was my next point. A lot of men that I'm finding now are bisexual. It's like more prevalent now than just being gay to me. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Okay. I think the way most people view it that are on the outside looking in is, well, if you've had relations with men, you can be bi, but you've also been gay as well. So it's like, it's a label that covers you. But I see that bothers you, Al. So we will try to be respectful, but just telling you what society thinks.
But it's still not fair, though. You know what I mean? To label someone gay.
Some people in society don't believe in trans women. Some people don't believe using pronouns, he or she, for a guy who's born a man. So all I'm just saying is, let's, the same way that we are evolving, as we understand, we do better when we know better. That's all I'm asking.
Because we wouldn't label Megan Thee Stallion gay, right, for sleeping with a woman. We let her be bisexual. See, when it's a woman, we let her be bi or bi-curious. Right. But if it's a man, you touched a penis before, you're gay. Doesn't matter if you sleep with women. You know, so
I think that's one of the things in our society where we talk about how you can't have it both. We have a lot of double standards that sometimes they don't benefit y'all and it feels a certain way, and sometimes it don't benefit us. And we can take that L. Yaya 502 said, listen, people can have sex with same sex. That don't make you gay. I disagree. Respect Benzino saying he's straight. And Kev the Creator said, when gay stops being an insult or a negative connotation, that's when it will stop. And Britannica Yanni said, even Saucy Santana said he tried to be a hood looking man for a minute when he was hustling in the streets. And Tanya Christopher said, I don't care what goes on in someone else's bedroom. I really don't either. Actually, I would like to stop hearing about what goes on in everybody else's bedroom because it has nothing to do with me. Should have nothing to do with your employment and what jobs you get. You shouldn't get it because you're gay. Just like you shouldn't get, should not get it because you're gay. I feel like we lead too much with sexuality. And I'm like, it ain't really my business. Do your thing. Live your life and be happy, people. Podcaster Tony D shared her perspective on what she calls hospice wives. We talk about this. Take a look.
So a hospice wife, basically a man above 50, mm-hmm. marries a woman. Finally, he's been playing the field for 50 years, and now he's ready to get married. His body is falling apart. He's got hypertension. He's got diabetes, heart issues, the whole nine. And now he's ready to get married and settle down. So now he marries a woman maybe 10 years younger or maybe in the same age group. And now he's marrying her, but only for him to have someone to take care of him in his later years.
Ooh, I'm going first on this one. Because this is something that affects me. I'm at that age at 50. And now the men that was all super hot and popping in their 20s and 30s and 40s. And they starting to get them backs being blown out, tore up. Their hypertension's kicking in. They starting to get gout. They starting to get diabetes. And now they want to settle down when that hairline is all the way back here. And you can't move it like you used to. And now you want to, I think I'm ready to settle down. Get away from me with this, Phaedra. Get away from me with this, Apollo. I don't want it. Don't come around now that you feel like things are breaking down and we get the less of you when you're not in your prime. I hate when men want to spin the block and settle down when they don't feel like that they're as desirable anymore. And wanting someone to be a caretaker when probably that same woman wanted to be with you because they loved you is very selfish. I think that's very selfish. Me and my girls talk about that all the time. I'm not being no hospice wife. If we didn't go through them hard times when you was popping, I'm not doing it. I'm not changing you. Don't come around here. That's my thoughts on this. Al, what do you think about these hospice wives?
I think you kind of ate that right there. But what I've always found fascinating is, is that when they do, when it's not working like it used to be, when they're dried up, they never go back to the chicks that they could have hollered to or did holler to in the past or wanted to be with in the past. They go straight to a young, naive girl. And somehow it works out because they agree to be a hospice wife. And they also all try very hard to have a child.
Ugh, Armand.
Y'all not going to like this, but I'm just going to say it. I just think that women, I think it's become a trend now for women to just complain about, you know, men. And it's now trendy to do because I just think you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Because at one point we have conversations about, you know, men being the leading men, like cases in the nursery homes or in the senior homes because there's no women for them anymore because they've been single. Then we have this conversation with these older men not wanting women that are older. They only go for the younger women, the more desirable women. They don't want middle-aged women. They don't want to pick you back up. They don't want you to be the hospice wife. They're still living young and having babies. They're sugar daddies at this point. And now they're trying to make you a hospice wife. Like, which one do you want him to be? Is he with the younger women? Does he want you to be a hospice wife? Or is he about to die alone in a nursery home? I just think a lot of women just like to complain about men.
Well, there's a lot to complain about. Now, I will say this. I will have to correct you on one thing. The hospice thing and the men dying alone in the nursing homes go hand in hand. That is a fact. If you talk to people that work in these nursing homes, they say a lot of these men were players when they were younger and kind of running from their families and their, I mean, you have I think you see it through a different lens because you had a different experience with your dad, but I don't think with your situation is the majority. A lot of people, their dads ain't really around and they didn't want to, that's the bad, like things stop not working. All of a sudden they want to start calling and worrying about where their kids are. I think the way you treat people when you're at your prime says a lot about you. Because, you know, don't come around when things aren't good. And yes, we are going to complain. There's been a lot to complain about. Armand, I know you're a man and you've had male privilege your entire life. But when you're constantly told that, in especially as a Black woman, that we're supposed to just accept anything with the least desirable, you know, what did you expect dating that kind of guy? It's always a thing where, like, we're never allowed to, like, have that true happiness. And ours is always kind of marginalized as compared to white women. It's very frustrating. It is, and I'm glad women are speaking out about this.
But let me ask you this. From a male perspective, like, you got to be honest, though. Like, at what point, like, what do you want from me? Not me, but I'm just saying men. Like, okay, so is it that I'm not present, or is it I'm only going for the younger ones, or am I dying alone? Like, it's just like, at every stretch of the way, it's like, the man is wrong. Like, I just feel like women just find their way to just complain about every stretch of the way. Either he wants a younger woman, or now he's making you the hospice wife, or now the man ends up dying alone because he doesn't ever want to settle down. Like, which one is it? Do you want him to settle down, or do you not?
No one doesn't want that. The cure to this is happy families, happy relationships. Mm. That's what the problem is. And there's not a lot of that. So of course you're going to hear complaints. If people are running from their responsibilities, not want to settle down until they're useless or they're impotent, of course there's a reason to complain about that. Come on. I think we have very similar thought processes. We actually both want the same thing from a man.
Yeah.
Want a stable, steady relationships. Don't come back around. Okay, Armand, I think you feel like you're young and subtle, supple and all that, right? 35 years old. How would you like it if the man that you really wanted doesn't really want to like give you that serious relationship and then spins the block when his health is in jeopardy, when he's not feeling, you know, when he doesn't feel like he's at his prime? That's not a good feeling. I think that affects men and women. Am I wrong?
Well, for me, you know, I'm going to be daddy. So if he don't want to be like, listen, I'm going to give me a hot 35-year-old. I'm going to be 50. You know, I'm going younger. Listen, baby.
So you're doing the same things that these trash guys are doing. Case closed. Okay, let's go to the comments. I see. I knew there was something there. And that as long as he's rich, I don't see a problem with it. I hire him a nurse and be outside any other time. M-Town Boy Foyer says, I'll be a hospice husband. Just put my name down as a beneficiary and I'll take care of you. It's going to be you're getting a hooker. It's transactional. Okay, I'll be your wife for the last few years of your life. All right.
Make sure I have fun, baby.
Armand. Coming up next, what do Dr. King and Julia Roberts have in common? And later, should kids be fearful of their parents? This should be interesting. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all, listen, we talk about credit here, and I definitely used this product before I got my house, and I got my credit up about 90 points before I bought my house, and it made my rate so much better. So please, please, please check this out. And if I told you there'd be massive savings on that new car in about 3 weeks, you'd wait, right? Of course you would, and you'd gladly wait 3 weeks to save tens of thousands on a new home loan or refi, or save hundreds on a major kitchen appliance. How is that possible in 3 weeks? In a word, ScoreMaster. 3 weeks is how fast the average ScoreMaster user takes to build their credit score and add up to 40 points. So why wait months or years to build your credit score a few points when it's doable in 3 weeks with ScoreMaster? Simply go to ScoreMaster.com before you apply for a loan or a credit card or finance anything. In about a minute, ScoreMaster will reveal how many plus points you can potentially add to your credit score. Visit scoremaster.com/T and try it for free for 7 days. Yes, that's right, free. That's scoremaster.com/T, scoremaster.com/T. Al, what do you think about ScoreMaster?
I think it's brilliant, and I wish I had it when I was in my 20s and 30s when I used to play and sometimes harm my credit. The best thing I like about ScoreMaster is that it sends you alerts. It also gives you the opportunity to say you wanted to finance something, and the finance company tells you, you know, a car, that, you know, if you have a 690 or a 720, this is the rate you're going to get, and this is how you're going to get approved. ScoreMaster, if you don't have that score, ScoreMaster will coach you to things that you can do today to get to that score for that purchase. I think it's great. I think it's brilliant. I think it's user-friendly. And anybody that's working on their credit or is interested in obtaining financing for anything, ScoreMaster is the route to go.
All right. Credit score changes, availability points, or applying to any offers are not guaranteed and may vary. Promotional considerations furnished by ScoreMaster. All right, y'all, let's get back to some more hot topics. We can all agree that social media tends to resurface some of the most random facts in pop culture history. So it's only fair that we unpack those facts in our T-Fact of the Day. All right, today's tea fact comes from legendary actress Julia Roberts. She revealed to Gayle King that it was difficult for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his wife, Coretta, to enroll their kids in a theater school because of their race. But her mom and dad owned a school and allowed their kids in. Now, the families became friends. And when the Roberts family couldn't afford to pay the hospital bill when Julia Roberts was born, the Kings stepped in and paid it for them. That is amazing. Bernice King tweeted that she was grateful Julia shared the story. Did y'all know about this, Al?
Yeah, I actually have read about this. I think for some strange reason, I remember the sit down, because I think when I learned about it, she did a sit down with Gayle. You're right, Claudia. It's a great story. It's heartwarming. It's positive. I just wish that it got more main media attention. I wish that instead of doing a sit down for A&E, why not do a sit down with Gayle for Good Morning America? You know, where the real numbers lie, where the real narratives can change how people feel about different African-American heroes that we have in the U.S. So flowers to Julia Roberts for not backing down and always sharing this story. And flowers for, you know, us here at this platform talking about it and teaching people the effect and the touch that the MLK family has had and always has had on us and Julia Roberts, a mainstream actor in Hollywood.
All right. Armand, what do you think about this story?
I didn't know about this, but I think, you know, this is a great example of good karma all the way around, you know, like good energy. It worked out for all of them. And it was a full circle moment. So I think that that's dope. And if you don't take anything away from this, you take away that, you know, put good into people because you never know when you need them and they'll do the same for you. So good karma is what you want to occur in this universe. So I like it.
I love it, too. I think a lot of times people think being an activist is kind of blacking out their page on Black History Month or tweeting something. This was way before social media. This was way back in the day that her family stepped up for the King family. And then the King family was in a better financial situation to really pay it forward and pay it back. And that's before people were doing stuff for clout. So I think this is an amazing story. And I wish more white families would take a page from the Roberts family back in the day, because to do this back then and to go out on a limb like that in a very contentious times, that says a lot about their dedication and how much they really believed in what they were saying and doing, because it was very much looked down upon to be kind to Black people. So kudos to both families. I love it. I love it.
You know what else? You know what else real quick? I just feel like, isn't it something interesting that all public figures or celebrities, they're all connected in some way at some point? I don't know. I just think that's really fascinating to me. Like everybody's somehow connected.
You know what I was going to ask? I was going to ask, do you think it was this good karma that has helped her be so successful as one of the best actors in Hollywood?
Probably. I mean, it can't hurt you to be a good person. You know what I mean? And especially the kind of person. It's one thing being a good person for Instagram for a moment. But when you're doing it when no one's looking, I feel like you're going to get blessed. I think you get blessings upon blessings. And that's when things start falling into your lap. So yeah,
and you are what you attract. So if you're only feeling negativity and drama, that's where you're vibrating at, and you're attracting that into your life. So, you know, she probably is attracting great things and positivity and success, because that's where she's vibrating at, clearly. So,
and generational. Yeah. Her family did that.
And her family started it.
Yeah.
Your kids can get your bad karma or your good karma. You decide. All right. Singer Naya dropped by Angela Yee's radio show to share an interesting perspective on the importance of sex. Take a look.
Sex is at least 65% of the relationship.
A little more than half.
Yeah, definitely more than half. I would put 65 on it.
Because when everything else is great, the sex lines up too.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Percentage-wise, how important is sex in a relationship to you, and why? Armand, let's go to you first.
I was battling with this one because I'm like, I was thinking 50-50, but I kind of agree with her. But between 60 to 65, because I got to be attracted to you. If I can't sleep with you, that don't even matter. You know what I mean? And if I'm going to be with you for the long haul, I got to be attracted to you for years upon years upon years. And you got to meet me where I'm at sexually. If you can't meet me where I'm at, I'm not interested. But on the flip side, that other stuff got to be handled too. You know, credit, finances, knowing how to pay bills, career, that, you know, communication, you know, affection, that is a thing for me as well. But, you know, I think sex is very much so important. I'm a man, so I'm physical first. And then you get into my mind and we get into all the other things. But usually when I first meet you, I'm ready to clap. So If I can't do that, and if it ain't right, you know, we probably won't last that long.
Okay. Al, what about you?
I think as I've gotten older, it has changed. In the beginning, I used to be very much like Armand. Like, sex was very super important. I would even give it 75%. But as I start to just experience life, go through life, Michelle Obama says it best. It's an ebb and flow. It's up, it's down, it's up and down again. So now for me, as long as you have interest in sex, I can't believe I said it. Sorry, as long as you still have interest in sex, as long as there's still an interest in sex, we can work through it. As long as they're still interested in that. So now, instead of 75, I would give it like around 50, 45, because so many things make me so much more happier now than just sex.
Wow, I never thought I'd see the day that you would say something.
I know, me neither. Let me see. Is that me? Is somebody in my seat?
I know something wrong with him. He tired. Sun ain't running with him. Sex is definitely important, but I can't just... And I'm a woman, so I'm wired differently than y'all. I cannot get into you sexually if my mind is not there with you. Like, I fall for how somebody talks and our conversation. And someone that could be a little whacker in bed can actually be still be sexy to me if I know, like, if I'm turned on by them, their presence. Now, you can't be whack like little D energy and impotent and
nasty and pretentious.
Yeah, I need you to still be like, the stuff you say is going to determine how nasty I'm going to be with you, how free I'm going to be with you, how much I'm going to want to do it, and how much I'm going to be jumping your bones. I'm an Aries woman that has, we have masculine energy. I'm definitely aggressive. And like you, I think they say about men that men are visual. I'm very visual as well. That's why I said I cannot be with no mud ducks. I don't care how rich they are. I need my job.
What's a mud duck?
A duck that got stuck in the mud and it's all ugly and dusty. I need fineness. I need the body. I need the voice. I need the mind. I need all of it.
So you would never date nobody. What if they was cross-eyed, but it had a lot of money? They looked good. They was
sir, cross-eyed. If you're cross-eyed, you're probably not going to be rich.
Oh.
How are you?
Wait, so cockeyed people can't make money?
Oh my God.
Name one. I'll wait. Go ahead, Armand. You go first.
I don't know. One of your best friends.
One of my friends is cockeyed?
Yes, the one that used to be married to Omarosa.
You got a
come on, Claudia. He was cross-eyed.
No, they were never married, first of all.
I know, but he was
he was not cockeyed. Al, respect.
Cross-eyed. He had one eye that went that way.
I'm not about to do this with you. I'm respecting the dead. No, Al.
He wasn't?
And he was your best friend. Is he rich?
Yes, he was very rich.
Claudia, don't get up here and start lying. These people be your friends.
No,
don't start claiming them when they die. You don't like to claim your friends.
No, Armand, don't try. Armorosa is not my friend. That is my arch enemy, actually. That is not my friend. And
no, not Armorosa. The guy that you had all those issues with when he passed, and she took all of his goods and things. What was his name?
Michael Clark Duncan. No, he wasn't cockeyed, Al.
You can't say no.
Oh my God. You know what? We got to go. We done opened up a can of worms. First of all, we are no longer talking about cockeyes on the show, okay? We're not allowed. I'm on.
No, Al, we're not.
No more.
You said it.
I can't with y'all.
You won't make no money. That was a good
She said cockeyed people are broke.
That's what she said.
They won't be in my bed. That's all I'm saying.
He only played cockeyed on television?
Al, he is dead. I'm not doing this with you. Respect the deceased.
Okay.
Keep it locked. Oh my God. His family watches. Keep it locked because coming up next, we answer some T-mail and later find out what we can't live without. We need to turn these mics off, production. We about to be canceled. We'll be back. Welcome back to TGIF. We have comments in the chat. This is from Dr. Larry Speaks, that the cockeyed people in the room are mad. LOL. Listen, we do not want to offend our cockeyed viewers. We have love for everybody, cockeyed or not. Here at Foxhole, we do not discriminate against against cockeyed people. We don't. We don't. We was just playing around. So we love everybody here at the show, and all people are welcome to be our soulmate, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they're just not welcome in your bed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And they'll just remain broke. No, but come on, let's move on.
Moving on, it's time for us to give advice to our soulmates who are dealing with crazy situations and might need a little guidance. Oh, you want guidance from us after that? This is our email of the day. It's been nice knowing y'all, guys, so I just want to say that. This T-mail comes from Nicole in L.A. Hey, Claudia, Alan, Armand. My friends went on a trip, and one of my friends brought her boyfriend because he found a deal last minute. We all had our own room, so it was no big deal. But one friend was mad at a man that was on an all-girls trip. How can I tell my friend, who was obviously hurt and triggered by being dumped by a boyfriend recently, that she's overreacting without hurting her feelings? P.S. No one ever called it a girl's trip. Our gay male bestie came too. Al, let's start with you. What do you think about this?
So, you know, I'm probably not the best person to ask for advice on this type of stuff, because if it wasn't, you know, deemed as a girlfriend's trip, and she, her boyfriend didn't have anything, you know, he had the right, the means to come, to be with his girlfriend. I mean, what is he supposed to be? Oh, she just went through a breakup, so therefore I shouldn't go be with my girl. I want to go be with my girl. It's a trip. I would say, you know, take this one on the chin, take this one for the team. And in the future, if you only want girls to be on the trip with you, make sure everybody that signs up for that trip is only going to be them.
All right. Armand, what do you think about this?
I feel like, so was it the gay guy, or was it the girl's boyfriend and the gay guy?
I kind of missed the gay guy and the girl's boyfriend came.
Yeah, so I just kind of feel like the girl's boyfriend shouldn't have came, honestly, because it's like, it's girls and the gays. Like, I don't know, when I'm with my friends and we do like our boys' time, and if it's just a friendship group, like whenever you have that partner, like your boyfriend or your husband or your girlfriend, it just makes the dynamic different. You can't talk as freely. You can't have as much fun because they're coupled up, and you got to make sure that, you know, you don't offend the boyfriend or the wife or whatever. So sometimes when you go out of town with your friends and it's a friend trip, you want to be free. You want to be able to talk about the things you talk about in your group chat. And you just can't do that when you have someone significant other there kind of like breathing down your neck. It just gets awkward. So I don't think that he should have went.
I agree. And this has happened before where a guy has showed up and I'm like it, I think it's something you should discuss prior, because, oh, if you're bringing your man, I would have brought mine and we could have made it a couple's trip. And then
yes,
it was so weird. You know, I love a good couple's trip. I love, that's one of my favorite things about being in a relationship is going on couple's trips. I think it's so fun. And I think it strengthens your relationship. But what doesn't strengthen it is you bringing your dude on a trip with all girls. Now all the girls that want to do their girl talk and talk about their private stuff, they can't really do it in front of the boyfriend. And then a lot of times the person that brought their mate, they ain't really messing with you anyways. They going off and having their own separate vacation with their mate. And one of my friends used to do this a few times, and we had to have a talk about it, because I was like, I don't get to see you. So then when you do bring your man, I hate that I can't really talk to you the way I want to. And she understood, and she made an adjustment, and she's like, I understand. But yeah, we need to talk about that before. Now, gay guy friend, that kind of counts as one of the girls sometimes.
Yeah.
But you still should let them know. I still think you should let them know.
Yeah, I think communication, maybe.
Absolutely. We have some comments. NY, New York said, ladies need to stop doing that ish. And PRT Diva said, honestly, most men wouldn't want to go on a trip with all women, and a gay man always. At least my man wouldn't, but that's just me. As the culture turn says, she better go and find a cross-eyed man to pop that kitty on. Y'all set me up with that comment. Production, you know we are not mature enough. We already got past that segment. We're trying to
move on.
I knew you are bringing us back to a dark place. I'm just saying. Okay, and Katie Pop 3 said, ladies, leave a man at home. Okay.
Ladies, leave a man at home. It's 11:30.
Kayla for the win.
Okay. Y'all setting us up. Okay. All right. Let's get back to some hot topics. We ain't talking about nobody's eyes. No, if there's anything about eyes, I'm skipping the story. I'm letting y'all know right now. A social media post by Julie went up that said, what's your opinion on hitting your child as punishment? One user wrote, I believe kids should have a healthy fear of their parents, because before I did anything stupid, I would think about the possibility of getting a whooping or embarrassing my family. I'm sorry, my parents. Should kids fear their parents? And would you physically hit your child as a form of punishment? Al, what do you think about this?
I agree with him. I can only speak from my experience. I can speak from my brothers and sisters' experience and my nephew's experience. Number one, my dad was in the military. My mother was a teacher, a trained teacher, and they didn't play. It was, you respect your elders, you respect your teachers, you respect your neighbors, you respect your church family. You respected people that helped and breathed and fed, you know, flowed into your family. And the deal was, if you got in trouble, if I got in trouble at church, I got in trouble at home. I had a healthy fear of my parents, and it worked out. And of course, it changed as I got older, but it worked 110% for me. So I can only tell you from my experience, I enjoyed it. It taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about accountability. It taught me a lot about responsibility. And it also taught me about learning my place as a child, given the age that I was. I don't see it much anymore, but it worked for me.
Okay, Armand, what do you think?
I totally agree. You know, I feel like I had a healthy fear of my parents too. I used to get my butt whooped. And you know what? One day I will have a child. I think I like want one. I want a son. And he gonna get smacked up for sure. Absolutely. Smacked up. I am that parent. I'm definitely smacking him up. But at the end of the day, I do think that you need that healthy fear. Now, I'm not here to beat the kids, because I do think that you know, punishment and like taking things away from them does help. You know, you can't hit them for long, because at some point I got to the point where I was like, all right, I'll take the whooping. It's worth it. I would negotiate in my mind, was the whooping worth it? And as I got older, it didn't hurt the same no more. So I just, you know, I'd sneak out the house. Go ahead and whoop me. You know, but it would hurt more when they take the game. It would hurt more when I couldn't go to the dance. It would hurt more when I didn't have the phone. I would take the whooping. So I just think you got to learn when to let the whooping go and then take the devices.
Right.
I want to say a big part of why our society is where it is today now is I think these new kids don't have a fear of their parents. And you see these parents want to be friends with their kids. That's cool, I guess. But there's also a lack of respect. Like, there was no way I could talk to my mother the way I talked to my friends, right? Mm-hmm. Or dad. Like, it just wasn't happening. And then you felt consequences of messing up. So I don't think you should fear your parents like they're going to beat me, like where it's abusive, where I'm like bruised face or black eye, nothing like that. But I think that, you know, it seemed like things did definitely take a turn in the wrong direction. And I think you can kind of correlate it with, I don't know, I feel like kids don't have any consequences now. And I do think, right. Yeah, taking stuff away or time out. Is a timeout working on a bad kid? I don't know about that. B. Shanti said, as a Zillennial, I agree. And a whooping or popping them is different from abuse, in my opinion. Quest Reborn said, there is a difference between discipline and child abuse. And Papa Legba's son said, depends on the child. My son would rather a whooping than his Xbox taken away, like you are mine. Veronica Smith said, that's a bully. Why are you hitting someone small than you that trusts and depends on you for development?
Oh, please. statements like that become the problem. So then this becomes the problem for 2024 and beyond. And right. Everything is so sensitive. Everybody is so triggered and everybody is, you know, canceled. Now you got right. People, you know, speaking out. Well, I was spanked as a child. Now let's go sue my mother. Like, I'm not about to start falling into that. You know
that's what?
Yeah.
That's one of those people that it said, go down at the schoolhouse, back talking the teacher, hitting the teacher, slapping the teacher, doing all that craziness because they feel like there are no consequences to their actions. No.
Yeah, I agree. I think there should be some kind of discipline there, and that you should have a fear or extreme respect for your parents. However, the parents got to put their foot down.
And because when they come to either one of our house, we don't got no kids. So we don't have the same patience for your kids. So if you don't go put them in their place, we will.
You going to do it.
You get what I'm absolutely. Or you can't come over.
Like I said, come to my house with all that nonsense with your kids. Backyard.
I ain't going to put them out.
Dirty paws on my white walls and couches. All right, speaking of kids, are kids the reason why couples are breaking up? Let's talk about it when we return. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, Tahoe TV recently tweeted, why is it that couples always seem to break up when the woman gets pregnant or during the first year or two after having a baby? All right, what do you all feel is the cause? Are they couples or do they just jump into relationships they aren't ready for because they're welcoming a kid? Armand, what do you think?
I think a lot of the pressure comes from the family. You know, they're like, well, now you got her pregnant, so you got to be with her. You got to marry her. And they're like, I just slept with her one time. I don't want to be with her. To me, it's kind of one of those things like getting a person's name tattooed on you. Once you do that, sometimes you're like, wait, I don't really want to be with this person. And I feel like it's the same thing with the kids. You might think you want to be with this person, but then once you realize, oh my God, I'm stuck with this person for the next 18 years, something in your mind feels like run. And then you end up, you know, hitting the highway.
All right, Al, what do you think?
Not run, Armand. Okay. So I think to what Armand is saying, it may be fun making a baby, but it's not as much fun raising, caring, and providing for one. And I think that's why you have what's called walkaway wife syndrome. That's also why you have miserable husband syndrome. These are real syndromes. For women, their priorities sometimes shift after carrying a child for 9 months, taking care of it in the womb, and then realizing that they have to raise this child from that point on. Their viewpoints and what was important to them change. Their increased responsibilities really stress them out. And for men, they become anxious, they can become frustrated, they can become stressed because now they're trying to see if all that little fun that they had is worth all of this responsibility that they now have to carry.
I think people need to stop being so casual, especially when you're still in your fertile years. Like, listen, I know this may be an eye roll for people because everyone wants to do it raw dog. And yes, raw dog is fun, but stop ejaculating into people you don't see yourself being with for a long time. A sperm plus an egg is gonna maybe make a baby, y'all. That's kind of what it was there for. And then people be so surprised. Oh, I didn't mean to get her pregnant, yet I had raw dog sex with her 72 times. How did this happen?
You know, she opened her legs without the condom. Come on.
But you know what? You can most likely make a case that most women do want to be moms. A lot of women, that's in our DNA. A lot of us do want to be moms. So it's like, it's not as risky a thing to us because we're like, we want to be with you. We want to have your kid. So with that being known, why would you then bust off and a woman you don't want to be with long term? Do not. Well, I don't know if I'm on my fertile years anymore. I don't think I am. But do not bust off into me unless you don't plan on being around for a little. If you ain't trying to be around for a while, then don't do it. We're not doing that. But I feel like it's not fun anymore. And people are just here for a fun time and not a long time. I think life has become very casual and very like, I'm not trying to have responsibilities. People look down upon responsibilities, unfortunately. All right, real quick. We all have our voices, but I want to know if you had to leave one of these behind for good, what would it be? The options are TV, music, alcohol, or seafood. Like, what could you leave behind? Is that what the question is? Yes? Okay.
I'm going to say I could leave behind TV.
Okay.
I would say TV too, because I don't really watch TV, but I'm on TV, so I need it. But but I believe TV because I don't watch TV.
Yeah. Okay. How about you, Claudia?
So we can't give up music, alcohol, or seafood. We are so ghetto. We are ghetto. We're going to be eating crab. Listen to trap music, eating crab legs, and not knowing what's on the news when we
No, but we can get up. We can do on. We can be on the radio, though.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey. Social media is fun.
I want to thank my co-hosts, Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins, for joining me tonight. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Stay tuned for Foxhole Face Off. We had a fun show. Run it back tomorrow. Watch it again. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye, y'all. Y'all so good.
Hey.
Have a good night, soulmates.